We're going to wrap things up this morning. We've been doing a gift exchange series, and if you have not been following along or you're not familiar with that, one of the things that we've been just breaking down, we talked about it at the Christmas Eve service. We've just been going through and just trying to look at the reality of the natural giftings that we kind of hold on to. And if you look on, we had these up here, you've got the trees, and you've got these stacks on the either side. And what these represent are those things. Now, I can tell you, honestly, I'm not going to argue with you. Some of you would look at those boxes and say, Tim, I don't see those as gifts. But at the same time, I'm going to respond by asking you, then why do we make them precious by holding on to them? Because if they're not special to us, then we should be able to just lay them down and walk away from them and let go of them. But the very fact that we hold on to them and we carry them around makes them precious and important to us, whether we like to own that or not. So in this gift exchange, I just want to be very simple and straightforward. What we're going to do, wrapping up this portion, and in January, I just want you to know that I'm going to be sharing my heart about where we need to be. We're going to be sharing our hearts about where we need to be in 2026 as a church family, because God has blessed us in incredible ways. But for us to be the family that we need to be, we're going to continue to need to talk about what we're going to talk about this morning. And in this gift exchange, we're going to talk about belonging and community for this MVC family. What does belonging and community look like for us? Because it would be crazy to spend all of this time looking at these beautiful gifts that God has made available for us through the birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Son of the Living God, for it not to impact the way that we interact with one another. So one more time, I just want to go over and I want to focus on the three responses that we've been talking about. And we're gonna use the term acknowledge the gift, and really what we mean, and we've pressed in and talked about this, is intellectual belief. And I'll be really honest with you, one of the things that we push back against in this church family is the standard that's kind of been set over the last 50 to 75 years, that it seems like we've made Christianity this intellectual thing. You get what I mean by that? Theology and verses, and we can have all of these things very mapped out, and we can say that we can argue, we can split, we can divide over these things, and yet somehow in all of this intellectual belief, it doesn't seem to assimilate into our lives and come out through our feet and our hands, our actions and our attitudes. So what we are asking you to move past is just acknowledging the gifts from God. And the second response is we can just add another thing. Like you see all these stacks, we can just take one of these and we can take it over here and we can just add it and then we can carry it all around and try to balance everything. But it's not going to work the way God intends when you just pile his gift on our junky gifts. But what we've really been pressing into is choice number three, which is to exchange and embrace. So we've been asking you for weeks now to just be honest with yourself and identify those things and lay those down and begin to press in and embrace and walk out these things for yourself and make them part of your life, these beautiful gifts. So our last Sunday together, and I want to mention this because I'd mentioned give Marianne Colucci props. Love those Italian women from New York City. That's good stuff. She just confronted me with the whole concept of regifting, and I've been sideswiped ever since. I want to present that because we've talked about it, this whole idea of regifting. And I want you to think about this. Regardless of our conscious response to God's desire, we naturally regift the things that we hold on to and make precious by the strength of our embrace. Did you get what I just said? Whether you want to say it or not, and this is a thing that has really just pounded me about my own past, is that what's amazing is every single person in here, in some shape, form, or fashion, and some of you guys, we got a lot of young adults in here, you say, man, I'm only 15. I'm not re-gifting anything. Maybe that attitude that you just responded with. But you get what I'm saying is that we all are in the process of re-gifting or passing on those things that are most precious to us. And here's the thing that I've noticed in my own life. You may make excuses for the stuff that are on these sides. You may say that they're okay for you and you make them precious. But let me just tell you, when you pass on hatred, when you pass on a condemning and a critical spirit, you know what I found in myself? My close people and family, they might have made excuses for those gifts, but when they pass them on to me, they get even more rotten and nasty and gross when I receive them. Are you tracking with what I'm saying? So one of the things that we are pressing into, in order for us to be the church family that we're supposed to be, we have to be intentional about living the way of Jesus and then learning how to apply that together. Now, this visual illustration is applicable for our personal individual lives. And just so you know, I'm living and fighting for what I'm teaching. This is my life. This is what I'm working toward. It works in our individual personal lives, our personal relationships. Some of you, for you to lay down some of that stuff, some of these junk things, and stop making them precious and press into the things that God's got for you, the immediate impact is going to be on your personal relationships, those people closest to you, and then our relationships within the body of Christ, His church. I just want to ask you real quick. Are you even aware of what gifts you're re-gifting to the people around you? And here's the thing. If we're not conscious of this concept, then we're not even going to know. We're not even going to be aware of the gifts that we're passing on to other people. But I can tell you this. In the words of one of our kids, one of our young guys was up here helping me with the gifts before the Christmas Eve service, and we're setting things up, we're moving things around. And I love it because out of the mouth and heart of a young man, he looked and he said, hey, Tim, there's a lot more gifts by the trees than there are up here in the middle. He said, man, that looks like that's probably really easy. Those are a little bit more difficult. I want to spend my life trying to live with those gifts. I'm like, yo, man, you want to preach Sunday? That's some good stuff right there. It's just that simple. But here's the thing. And I want you to just think about this in the context of what we're talking about. We have to consciously make an effort to pass these because of Jesus, because of His reality. We all have to, not just a couple of us, but we all as the body of Christ have to make a conscious effort to press into these gifts to learn how to live in community and belonging with one another. Because I want you to look at both sides real quick. I want you to look at the stack of gifts. Some of you, when you hear me talk about religiosity or overcoming past denominational impact or things that we're working through, a lot of us, and I'm not throwing stones, I'm just talking about my own reality. A lot of us, these things on the side represent more of our church experience than these do. Are you tracking with me? It's just a lot of us have had those kind of reality experiences. And here's the thing. Let's stop making excuses. Let's stop hiding behind those things. And let's lay those things aside and exchange them for the good things. And some of you would say, like I would say, well, Pastor Tim, I don't know what the kind of church looks like that we're talking about, we're trying to press into. No, neither do we, but we're going to press into it because we're going to figure it out together. And I can tell you this. What I have been experiencing the last 20 years with you in my pursuit of Christ, I would never go back to where I came from for anything. You guys are making a difference in my life because we're figuring this out together. Does that make sense? So a couple Sundays ago, we talked about we're just wrapping things up with love. And you know, this whole church family is based on Matthew chapter 22 and what Jesus said from Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we're big proponents of love, but I want you to think about this as I read Ephesians chapter 3, and you've heard me say this. So in the context of Christ's birth that we just celebrated, and the gift of his life and the things that he's made available to us, and he did it with purpose so that he would present himself as the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And then he rose from the tomb 3 days later. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that his glorious, unlimited resources will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. These gifts that he's made for us, that we would be empowered. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Oh, Father, there's somebody here this morning that doesn't really understand how much you love them. So I pray that this would be true today, that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is your love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. What we've been working on is just trying to give you a simple visual that you can use. I'm a visual learner. It helps me a lot when I can see something. Gives me that point, but you know that's how Jesus taught. Because he's talking about amazing spiritual things, and he would say, hey, look over here. Do you kind of understand this? This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I appreciate that. Think about this. Ephesus, Colossae, Corinth, Galatia, and many other New Testament letters were written to encourage people in specific locations, in specific towns, in specific regions. These were groups of people. These weren't what we would call businesses of church. These were groups of people. And in the book of Acts, proclaims the reality of spiritual transformation that enables a supernatural sense of community and belonging. The past weeks, all we've been trying to do is lay the foundation and make it very clear. And please hear my heart this morning. It's a very simple lesson that we need to learn to apply for the rest of our lives. We cannot live in community with a sense of belonging if we're not embracing these things right here. Look at the things on the side. Those create dissension, division, quarreling, arrogance, all kinds of negative things that keep us from missional living. And here's the thing about belonging in community. It's because we are in mission together with what Christ has called us to. So I'm going to mention these things, and I want you to just think about them. And I'm not saying that all these things are bad all the time, but I think that we have to address certain things that within the American Western church keep us from experiencing belonging and community. These are enemies of community and belonging through Christ Jesus our Lord. Isolation and a sense of loneliness. I don't know who you are this morning, but there is somebody listening to my voice right now where the evil one is attacking you, and the way that he's going to separate you is a sense of aloneness and pulling you away and isolating you in some shape, form, or fashion to keep you from the body of Christ. Because there's something supernatural about us just showing up together. You guys bless me. I hope that I bless you periodically, but I'm just telling you right now, when we get together, you guys are a blessing to me. Rugged individualism. Some of you men, did you hear what I just said? I'm not against rugged individualism, but when you are to that point, like it's your moniker, your badge, or you like had a patch made up for your jacket because you're a rugged individual, you know what that means? That you're going to keep certain people out and only certain people can come in, and it's going to affect your ability to belong and live in community. The next one goes right along with it. Fiercely independent. Fierce independence. I don't need nobody. I got one. I just want to remind you that we have to stand, brothers and sisters. But we stand locked arms together because we're the body of Christ. Not because we are an individual. The last one, and you know I've talked about this personally, a lack of trust and confidence in anyone except yourself. Well, I can go back to point number one. If that's the way you live, you're going to have a stinking lonely life. And so here we bring all of these things in, and here we're talking this morning about belonging in community. And I'm just telling you right now, and I understand, when I hear somebody say, I don't need church, I want to be careful, because if you're saying, I don't need organized religion and I don't need the business, the money-making part of this big conglomerate, I'm with you. I get what you're saying. But when you make statements like, I don't need church or I don't need anybody else, that's not biblical. And God is not in the middle of that. The father of lies is in the middle of that belief system, because everything that we see about the unction, the power, the vitality, and the transformational power of the New Testament is because people were able to come together on mission because they were bound together by the blood of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is a team, family, body effort. And so what we're going to have to do is continually address some of these idealisms for us to be able to experience the presence of God together. Luke chapter 6. Let me just remind you what Jesus said before we break down Galatians chapter 5. Jesus said this. These were his words. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, or do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. May the Holy Spirit apply these verses to your heart and life the way that they need to be for purity in your pursuit of Christ. But I want to jump from there to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and I want to read to you the encouragement of what the scripture says. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Look at me. Listen to me. Hear my heart. That's what we want for each and every one of you. We're not trying to control anybody here. We want you to learn to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, to experience the presence of God, for you to make these gifts your own, but for you to help this body be stronger and more missional and more focused. Listen to what it says. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Oh, Tim, I don't know that you and, oh my goodness, are you kidding? I got the same battle going on inside of me that you do. Some of these gifts, I want to hold on to them because I feel like it's my right. Because some of the things that were done to me as a kid, I didn't ask for them. But you know what? When I make a choice to hold on to them, what do I wind up re-gifting to my kids? Okay, I'll keep reading. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Can anybody other than me relate to what we're reading? Welcome to my daily world. Oh, Pastor Tim, you? Oh, you might be freaked out. Yeah, look at what it says. They're fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Some of you made New Year's resolutions. Let me tell you, you want some help in that New Year's resolution list? You better press into Jesus, okay? Because he's got some power for you to help you. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation of the law of Moses. I know I'm driving Tyler nuts this morning. You can't even move it over there. Oh, you may go over that way. Sorry. Sometimes he says, hey, can you just stay within 10 feet? I'm like, oh, man. See that stack of gifts? I'm just telling you, from my heart, brothers and sisters, we are trying to be the kind of church family that we read about, that a lot of us have never walked in the middle of. And you can ask my wife, guys that have been around me since we started this. Until my last breath, I'm not going to give up. I want to experience the kingdom of God in his power on this earth right now, here today, in a supernatural way. But the only way that we can do that as a family or individually is we've got to identify the junk that keeps us from experiencing the goodness of God. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is talking about lifestyle, constant choices, what you give yourself to. And can I just say this in love, that what I just read, a lot of church families in different denominations across America, that could be a moniker for the way that they promote Jesus. That's not who we're trying to be. We're no better than anybody else. We're a forgiven group of people. But I just want you to think about the things that I just read to you from the scripture. Can you not see how that those things have a greater grip on us if we're isolated, we have a sense of aloneness, if we're rugged individuals, if we're fiercely independent and we don't need each other, or we can't allow ourselves to trust God or anybody else? Now look at, it goes on to say, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. They have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I want to go ahead and mention that I'm going to give some of you the privilege, and I'm going to give you the opportunity when we're done today. We had some people in the early service that said, Tim, I wanted to go do what you suggested, but I didn't know if there'd be enough boxes. We've got a fire out here in this fire pit, and some of you don't need this. But others of you, you need to put a line in the sand. And I'm asking you today, like never before, if you need to, you go grab one of these stinking boxes and you walk it out there to the fire pit and you meet with God by yourself and you burn that stinking thing and you draw a line in the sand and you say, God, you help me for the rest of my days to lay aside a condemning, critical, judgmental spirit. God, you help me to lay aside hatred and self. I don't know what it is, but when we wrap things up, and I'll be honest with you, I could grab the whole pile by myself, but I'm not going to do that because we're all in a battle. But if you can't sense the battle that's raging, we need to press in and figure out what it means to be a holy group of people and belong. Not weird, not strange, but on mission together like never before. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every single part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous for one another. Oh, man. Colossians 3. But now you also need to rid yourselves. Let's get the junk out. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech from your mouth. Oh, I keep reading. Stop stinking lying. I've experienced more lies within the body of Christ. Let's just stop lying to each other. Since you stripped off the old self with its evil practices and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. Stripping off the old and putting it, it's not just a one-time thing. Some of you are coming from denominations and backgrounds where they've taken Corinthians 5 and made it like this easy button switch. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. And you got that for a little bit, but then you're in the battle and you're like, what in the world? I guess I'm not a follower of Christ. We're called to struggle. We're called to battle. We're called to these things because I am still learning how to love my wife the way that Christ loves the church. Oh my goodness, man. You want to talk about a heavy mandate? Duh. Right, sweetheart? I'm still learning. Oh, don't look at you. I'm sorry. Okay. You know how that is. Hey, I want to throw these out, some practical points. I want to just give you some practical points to help encourage the process of continuing to exchange and embrace God's excellent gifts as we learn to live as the body of Christ, His church. Please hear me. Get off your backside. Backside. That was a good word I could pull out right there. Some of you, like never before in 2026, get off your backside with these things. Prioritize connection. Well, I don't feel connected. Probably not a priority. Practice hospitality. Well, I'm waiting for somebody else to invite me over. Well, invite somebody over. If your house smells and it stinks and you'd never clean it up, then meet somebody somewhere. I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Hey, you know what? I meet with guys at Sheetz. I do. You know, they got this row of tables that most people don't sit at. That's a great place to hang out and experience hospitality. Some of you know, you're like, yeah, I met you there. Engage in the disciple-making process. Either get with somebody and you bring them along or walk with somebody, whatever. Stop making excuses and engage in the disciple-making process. Practice prayer, both privately and in community. Ask Andrew to pray this morning because he prays privately. That's what I'm talking about. Practice forgiveness by... Where's forgiveness? Here we go. Giving and receiving. Some of you, people in your life have asked for forgiveness and you won't receive it. Forgiveness. Forgive and experience forgiveness. Pursue loving communication. Some of you, you need to shut your mouth down because you just say you're being blunt and honest about, but you are so harsh and mean in the way that you communicate. There is absolutely no love communicated in what you say is the truth. Stop it. Pursue loving communication and prioritize and pursue reconciliation. If you haven't studied the Bible much, let me just tell you something about reconciliation. If you boo-booed somebody else, you're supposed to go to them. If somebody boo-booed you, you're supposed to go to them. Oh, yeah. We are supposed to take personal responsibility for reconciliation. Here's the thing. More people in an MVC family means that we need more people to help love, encourage, and bless. We're blessed. We have three services, two different locations. This wasn't our plan. This is God's blessing. So you know what that means? Right now we have four different meal trains. You know what a meal train is? Where people take meals to a certain family that's struggling for anywhere from a week to 3 weeks. So right now we have four meal trains. Between the three services and the two locations, we have four different meal trains. What that means is in the past, we might have been able to have eight ladies, sometimes men. Woody would supply cake every once in a while. Thank you, Woody. But we would have a group of women and they could handle everything. Right now, we need 45 to 65 men and women providing meals to come alongside of people that are struggling physically, that are going through a difficult time, that are having a challenge in life. And you ladies know, you men know, that for somebody to just show up with a meal and say, hey, we prepared this for you, what does that do to your heart and soul? But the same people that, same husbands and wives that used to do it in the past can't keep up now. So this sense of belonging in community is not just on a small group of people, it's on all of us. I want you to look at this visual. I love, I never get tired of, and I can't read it enough. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 have been a part of my life in my faith journey since I was a teenager. And so, I must say to you, my brothers and sisters, if you're outside the household of faith, I'm just going to ask you to believe. We are not a perfect group, but we are a forgiving group that's trying to walk in the ways of Jesus, and we would love for you to join our faith journey forever. Don't stop here. Keeps going. I plead with you to give your bodies, and look at me, I'm asking some of you, you want a New Year's resolution? You start doing this every single morning. And I'm begging you to give your body, your soul, your mind to our God because of all that He has made available and done for you. Let yourself be a living and a holy sacrifice for Him, the kind that He finds acceptable. You say, Tim, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. It wasn't my son that was sent to die on your behalf. Father God sent His son on your behalf to cleanse, forgive, and give you a hope. So you are acceptable when you come to Him. This is truly the way to experience worship, to worship Him. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. These things are what we naturally pass on. Stop doing that. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you're going to learn by practice that the will and desire of God actually fits your life and it works and it is transformative and amazing. As we wrap up the lesson this morning, let me just be honest that there's many here in our church family, and I just want to go back to some of the things we've already talked about. All three services, both campuses today, there's people in our church family that are suffering silently in isolation and loneliness. I'm not trying to be hard or mean, but you know who they are, I don't. What are you doing to bless and help another human being that is struggling with isolation and loneliness? And don't throw that on me. Don't throw that on me. We are the ministers of the gospel, and if you are aware of somebody that's suffering in isolation and loneliness, then just be a friend. Go to them. We've got discouraged and disheartened people. They're just trying to keep their nose above water. We have to encourage one another. We have to be involved in one another's lives. We've got some people that honestly, with all the political climate, the changing culture around, they can't even see Jesus anymore because all they see is two political parties. And everything in life is through the filter of left and right. We are in need of putting our eyes on Jesus and trying to stand next to people. Sadness, and depression. I hear more moms and dads talk about this than ever before, that they are overwhelmed by the growing evil in our world. I get that. I understand that. But we don't need to have more conversations about how bad things stink and how bad things are. We need to press into the good that we can do and the difference that we can make. I'm telling you right now in this church family, we've got people that are ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to give up on everything. Now, I can just tell you what I tell people when I run into these kind of situations. I just look them in the eyes and I say, I'm begging you. I don't have anything great to tell you other than I love you. Please do not give up. And if you will just yield to the Spirit of God, you'll find out how amazing you can be. I have people tell me all the time, Tim, I don't know how you knew, but I got a text. And I look and I say, I'm not that good. I don't know. I just got a nudge. I've had people say to me what they've said to God. And 20 seconds later, they get a text from me. It's just a simple, sweet text of encouragement. We all need to be available for that. We've got people that are so overwhelmed by destructive habits and addictions. Don't need one more group of stone throwers. Need to be a people that are going to stand next to people and love them and be patient and try to really help. We have to learn to help, bless, and encourage one another on this spiritual journey. And we have to press back into the reality of the New Testament model that Jesus proclaimed and his apprentice continued. Do you understand that this mission that we're talking about, this is not something that we launched. This is not something we're just trying to figure out the ways of Jesus. He said, go take this good news and make disciples and baptize them in my name and do it all over the world. It's his plan. We must make changes to embrace his excellent gifts, his excellent things in our lives, and we have to lay down the junk that keeps us from knowing them on a deeper level. Let me define them. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit must continue to be at the very center of our lives, our families, and this church. Without the Holy Spirit, the mandate of Jesus, the will of the Father, we got nothing to do here. We're not trying to build a business. We're not trying to build anything other than, what did Jesus say? He said, my church. I love my church. Church is not a building, property, holdings. Church is people for whom Christ died. So I'm just being really raw and honest with you that for 2026, we are pressing in to being and trying to figure out what does it look like to be the body of Christ. And I can just tell you right now, for some of you, if you think it's lily clean, cute package, it's dirty, it's messy, because we all bring our junk to the table. And we got to figure out how to lay down our junk and embrace the good things he's got for us. Hey, listen, I hope you understand. I'm living what I'm talking to you about this morning. I'm constantly trying to lay down certain things and let go of them and embrace God's good things for them. I have this battle raging inside of me that you do every single day. But you know what? As we learn to belong and live in community, I can look at you and say, I'm no better than you are. Dude, I get your struggle. I understand. And then we can encourage one another to stand up and be strong together, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the one that came and lived and died and rose again on our behalf. But let's stop playing games. And let's just be honest about the things that we need to burn, lay down, let go of, and walk away from. And it'd be great if it was a one-time thing, but it's not. I don't know about you, but I'll throw them out on the fire, and then when y'all turn your back, I'll dig in and try to pick up the remnant. Carried away. It's called the battle of the flesh and the spirit. I want to ask you, are you willing to press in and pursue godly, serious change for yourself, for those around you, and for this church family? Because I'm just telling you, what God is calling us to, if we're not on mission together, this is going to be a train wreck. Is it Pastor Tim? Yeah. Because he's the one that's got to build this family, this house, this body. So I want you to think about these things. As we stand up together, the worship team is going to wrap things up. And this is a challenge that we all have. We're going to sing this beautiful song. You can go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing this beautiful song about God's holiness. And this pursuit that we're on, how do we deal with our humanity in reference to His holiness? I'm just going to say, let's keep figuring that out together. I love you. I'm not trying to be hard, mean. I'm not trying to hate on anybody and condemn anybody. But for us to move forward with this belonging in this community, we have to be honest about how that happens. Let's sing together.